Well, more and more big companies are suspending their capital expenditure and their expansion plans. Consol Glass cancelling a 1.5 billion rand investment in its manufacturing plant as a direct result of the COVID-19 fueled booze bans, which have seen demand for its bottles plummet. We spoke to Mike Arnold 10 days ago, and then he warned that their position was shaky. Today, talking to us, he said they had absolutely no choice.
Well, Consol's decision to cancel the 1.5 billion capacity expansion is due to the combined effect of the first 9-week alcohol ban and the second ban, which is still continuing. This has really created massive uncertainty going forward. And quite frankly, with no clear timeframe on when the industry will be permitted to return to trade, it's obvious that confidence in the market returning to normal in the future has now been severely compromised. The first alcohol ban resulted in losses of, about 1.5 billion to the glass packaging industry. And if the second alcohol ban continues without clarity on its duration, it will now place at risk some 25,000 direct and indirect jobs in the industry's supply chain.
It's an astonishing story. Mike Arnold, who is the chief executive of Consol Glass. It follows immediately after the announcements at the weekend by Heineken and yesterday by SAB, which together they're suspending 11 billion rand in expenditure on improving and developing, and in the case of Heineken, a brand new brewery on the KZN North Coast. And they're doing that over the next 2 years. Anne Bernstein is executive director at the Center for Development and Enterprise. And it really is the doom and gloom that is pervasive in our economy right now, Anne Bernstein.
Yes, it's really very serious. And I sometimes wonder when I listen to ANC and government spokespeople how much they appreciate of how bad things are. That we assume, you hear it every night, you're watching all of this, but I'm not sure if all South Africans are seeing what's happening around us and the devastation that's taking place in the same way. And I think if they did, there would be much greater urgency to unlock the economy and to help preserve jobs, never mind increase jobs.
The former Goldman Sachs managing director in South Africa is now turned lecturer at Princeton University in the United States, Colin Coleman, earlier today. Now, you know, he's not a very emotional guy. He's very measured. He's very controlled. He is a very thoughtful individual, is Colin Coleman. Today, telling us openly, frustrated by government intransigence.
It was Hank Paulson who said, "I believe that the root cause of every financial crisis, the root cause, is flawed government policies." It was Timothy Geithner who said financial crises require governments. That is the real issue. Governments and business need each other to make investments and job creation work.
And I'm sure you would have to agree with that, Anne Bernstein. That's Colin Coleman talking about the fact that we're having these conversations all the time and government is going, yeah, lip service, yet we're not seeing any progress on what really matters, and that is transformation of the base of our economy.
I think we're still quite far apart, and that even the multiple crises. You know, before COVID, Bruce, you and I discussed the unemployment crisis, the growth crisis, the fiscal crisis, never mind the social crisis. We're now in a much worse situation. And I must say, I am surprised that there isn't a bigger reaction to say we have to think differently, we have to act urgently, and we have to get the economy going again. But there doesn't seem to be that sense of urgency or that sense of what have we been doing wrong, what have we got to improve and do better. And you do have to wonder, where is leadership in our society now?
Leadership possibly overwhelmed by the health crisis and kind of figuring, well, perhaps we'll get to the economic crisis later. Right now, we have to stop the health sector falling over in a heap, because otherwise the longer the health crisis drags out, the bigger the economic tragedy will be in the long run. However, somehow, I suppose, they've got to run these things parallel, don't they?
They do have to. And I think the big opportunity, the strategic dilemma of South Africa is that we have an incredibly weak and corrupt state. There are obviously a few pockets of excellence remaining, the Reserve Bank, the National Treasury. But your overall local government, provincial government, we're just weak. It's a weak state, a weak instrument. And yet we have one of the strongest developing country private sectors. We have a private sector that can help deliver, but we continue to believe in a development state and a much bigger role for the state when it's patently failed. And that isn't to say that business or the markets are perfect, far from it, but they do have the ability to mobilize resources and to get things done. And that's what South Africa desperately needs. And that's one of the big shifts we have to make in this society if we're going to start making progress. So people have their 10-point plan. We've got a plethora of recovery strategies, which I've been spending my days reading. But unless you have an effective instrument to actually implement reform, never mind assess which are the best ones, we're not going to get anywhere. And it's that requires a fundamental shift in how we're going to move forward as a country. And that is going to require not compacting, but actually leadership that will can bring everyone together in compact, but
I get the sense, though, that people are getting increasingly frustrated, Anne Bernstein. We saw the Pick and Pay annual general meeting today and a trading update today. But Gareth Ackerman, who's the chairman of Pick and Pay, clearly fed up with the complete lack of logic around something as elementary as the booze ban. If we could focus narrowly on that, it's a way of dealing with it. And he's talking about government credibility in dealing with this crisis. Have a listen to Gareth Ackerman, the chairman of Pick and Pay.
The government on several occasions has reassured us that they are listening and consulting, but we see little evidence of this. We cannot afford decisions that are poorly made or poorly explained. They create confusion and cynicism and erode the togetherness on which we all depend. It is inevitable in this context that I mention the prohibition on the sale of alcohol and the sale of tobacco. I do not do this because the prohibitions hurt our sales and cash flow, although it is true that they do. I focus on it because more than any other decision taken by the government during this pandemic, these prohibitions risk creating cynicism and division, which we cannot afford.
I mean, it's such a powerful point that he makes there, Anne Bernstein. That's Gareth Ackerman, the chairman of Pick and Pay. Just that, you know, South Africans generally are fed up with nanny state regulation in an environment where the big stuff is being completely ignored.
I agree 150% with Gareth Ackerman's statement. The cigarette ban is completely incomprehensible and makes, you know, you only can think about corruption. And the alcohol ban, have these people not heard of prohibition? You know, we learned this lesson in the 30s. And you know, when South Africa is desperate for revenue to kind of help our fiscus, to do this and to do this again without talking to the industry gives a lie to organized business saying that they're talking to government all the time and that they're getting on quite well. Well, I haven't seen the results of that in terms of these two fundamental issues and literally could be hundreds of thousands of jobs and an increase in criminality and lost tax revenue. This is incomprehensible. And most worrying is we now have a president who comes on and a government that come on and they don't take questions. So we're being ruled increasingly by decree rather than, you know, coming to Parliament and explaining the reasons for things, why they've rejected the Medical Research Council's proposals on alcohol or anything else. So we're in a very difficult situation, and I think you're absolutely right that credibility is on the decline, and I can only repeat,
Yeah. I mean, there's one quick release valve, I suppose. I mean, the best way of determining whether or not we as a country, as an investment destination, have any credibility is to look at the currency market. And I guess, you know, in the short term, there are fluctuations and things. But what we've been seeing, particularly through this crisis, is the destruction of the value of the currency. Michael Keenan, who's a fixed income strategist at APSA, was telling us today that currency weakness is hardly surprising right now.
Given South Africa's low domestic savings rate, the country essentially needs to import capital from abroad in order to fund investment projects which create jobs and ultimately lead to high growth. If those foreign inflows are not forthcoming, the country will essentially need to increase interest rates and/or the currency will need to weaken in order to create sufficient risk premium to entice those investors back into the country.
Anne Bernstein, you're listening there to Michael Keenan at APSA. I mean, import capital from abroad. What do we need? Do we need another investment summit? There's a solution for you, Anne Bernstein. Don't throw
anything. Absolutely not. We need some serious reforms, which the Minister of Finance proposed almost a year ago now. We're told the ANC supports them. We're told the Cabinet supports them. But why were they not being implemented? So unless we have some, we've got to restore confidence that this country is being managed and it's being governed in the right direction. And at the moment, that is a hard case to make.
At least the ANC feels embarrassed about the corruption around PPEs. I mean, at least after the three-day ANC National Executive Committee meeting, the ANC has said, well, it's terribly embarrassed. And it's going to ask people who've been implicated to step aside from their duties. Progress or not?
Well, if we look at the person making that statement, it's hard to believe it. It's hard to believe yet another speech or a statement telling us they're shocked or surprised, or the president's letter today about corruption. We need more action. We need some senior people to be charged and go and hopefully found guilty and go to jail. So it's why is it all taking so long? That's the question we should be asking. What is there that could be done to speed up the anti-corruption fight? And how serious is the cabinet and the ruling party in actually taking that fight on? I don't think they are. I think there are too many people who are deeply involved in this network. And that's where we sit at the moment. I think the country's tired of words. We need actions in the right direction to restore trust and hope in the future.
Anne Bernstein, thank you. Executive Director at the Center for Development and Enterprise, also in that melange of voices. You heard Gareth Ackerman, the increasingly frustrated chairman of Pick and Pay, the frustrated former managing director of Goldman Sachs in South Africa, the Princeton University lecturer Colin Coleman, and Mike Arnold, chief executive of Consul Glass, announcing that they are not going to be spending the 1.5 billion rand that they were planning to spend on expansion and development of their bottling plants because their biggest clients, Heineken and SAB, over the last 2 days, have announced that they are not going to be spending 11 billion rand on capital expenditure because there is no market to supply their beer to. That is the consequence of the regulations that have been brought in an effort to try to fight COVID-19. But the damage that the actions that have been brought in to fight COVID-19 are bringing through the economy are devastating.